God, but we also thank the Lord we can be a part of that. Thank you, Pastor, for the invitation to come and spend time with you. Appreciate the privilege of meeting some of you fine folks here tonight in this wonderful place, Victory Baptist. We thank the Lord for what God's doing in this place, and thank you for honoring the Lord by being here tonight. I appreciate Pastor allowing me to stand in his stead this evening. And so if you have your Bible, let's go to the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, chapter number 14, if you would, please. Exodus chapter number 14. And once you find your place, if you're able tonight, would you stand and honor the Word of God? I'm going to be reading aloud here, verses 1 through 15. Ask you to follow along as I read aloud this portion of Scripture tonight from Exodus chapter number 14. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall you encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea, beside before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou thus dealt with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, Fear you not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again, no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. May God bless reading this word. Let's be seated this time. If you know anything about the Bible, you understand the historical narrative here is dealing with the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, and the leader that God has chosen at this time, named Moses, to deliver them out of Egyptian bondage. It's taken well over 400 years for them to be in bondage, and now God's allowing them to make their way out of Egypt to the land of promise. We would know that as the land of Canaan, as the young people sang about tonight. Now, there is a difference between heaven and Canaan. Obviously, Canaan had enemies and death and trouble, and we're not going to have any of that in heaven, amen? We thank the Lord for that. But we do understand that Canaan is a picture of the victorious Christian life, the victorious believer. Now, as we look at the Old Testament, God has made a promise to Israel that they're going to go into this so-called land of promise. Now we find them desirous of going out. At the same time, they're now fearful because the Egyptians have come upon them. And as they make their way out of the area of the Egyptian land, they make their way to the place God told them to go. He told them exactly to encamp where they were encamped. And it said, and the children of Israel did so. And as they get there, they find out they're encamped right before the Red Sea. And everything seems to be going just fine until Pharaoh's heart is hardened and he now comes after the people of God. They're saying, Moses, we told you we didn't want to leave because we did not want to die. We would better off in Egypt living there alive than it would be to be out here and die because there's no graves to be buried in Egypt. So we find the historical significance here is that God is relating to his people that I have a plan for your life. And we just heard testimony that God's plan and God's ways are always better than ours. So God had a plan for the nation of Israel, and that was this, that the enemy they saw that day, he had delivered them out of Egypt with a high hand. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that they gave much treasure and gave great blessings to the people of God after the death of the firstborn, and he wanted them to leave the land, and so they came out very prosperous, even as slaves and servants to Egypt. They came out very prosperous by the hand of God's deliverance while they were burying the firstborn that had died. Then God hardens Pharaoh's heart, and he says, I'm going to let the Egyptians know who God really is. Now, he did that through the 10 plagues and against the pagan gods that they served. At the same time, my friend, we're going to find that God's going to reveal his great power to the Egyptians, that they would know that truly he is God. Their gods were nothing in their eyes. Their gods were nothing in the eyes of Jehovah. So we find the people of God now understanding that God has a plan for them, and yet there were people that were coming out of Egypt trying to destroy them. So what do? We find out that they're encamped right where God told them to be. Here's the point I want to make. A lot of times we don't understand why God has us where he does. But God is in charge. They are in the will of God. They're encamped right where God wanted them to be. But God has a plan for their life. He said, the enemy you see today, ye shall see them again no more forever. So there's an occasion that's taking place in the life of these people. Now, obviously, when the trouble comes, they cried out to the Lord. We read that in the verse. They cried out to God in their time of trouble. Hey, let's jump ahead to our time period. When we get into trouble, what do? We cry out to God, do we not? Aren't you glad we have access to God tonight? We can pray and commune with him. But here we find the children of Israel. They were afraid for their lives. So they cried out to God in prayer. But they were assured by the promise of God, the man of God extolling the word of God, saying to them, what God said he would do, he will become reality for that. He will make it known unto us. The enemy you see today, you shall see them again no more. How long? Forever. God's going to destroy the enemy. They will not plague them anymore. God's going to bless them and watch over them. So the occasion is they're leaving Egypt. They're encamping now by the Red Sea. And as they're gathering there, there's something needs to be done. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 tells us that Moses says, and the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. Now, I know your pastor, and I know that I'm a former pastor myself, and we are desirous of God's people growing in grace and in knowledge. We're desirous of God's people living in the will of God, living according to the word of God, and following after the path of righteousness. Suffice to say that not everybody is in the same place spiritually. We're all growing and learning about God. Wouldn't it be great if somebody got saved and they became spiritual like the Apostle Paul was in 3 weeks? Wouldn't that be something? We could give you a capsule on Sunday morning, say you take this, it'll automatically make you spiritual. That'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? Now, there are some people who think they have that, but they really don't, all right? We have the Bible to guide and direct our lives, but what we find here as the people of God, God's going to operate his will for their lives if they will listen and take heed to his word. It said that Moses was to speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. Trust in God. Ye shall see the salvation of the Lord. Now, we as preachers, and maybe more than two or three here in this room tonight, it's easy for us to say to people, trust the Lord. This morning, in your challenge this morning, you're to fear God, amen, and love God. And it's a love of Christ that constrains us to go on. Thank the Lord that we're able to be motivated by God's concern for us. And one day we're going to stand before God. Yes, we will, friends. And at the beam of judgment, we're going to give an account to God for what we did after we got saved. We need to understand tonight that there's a terror that comes upon our lives because of this. And Pastor has reminded me that when he spoke this morning, he's not trying to condemn you or trying to hurt you. We're trying to reveal to you that God has a plan for your life and my life. There's a will of God for all of us. There's a purpose for every one of our lives. And the children of Israel thought they were at a dead end. They thought they could not go on. And God was saying, hey, what you need to do is trust me. I will deliver you from the enemy. You'll see them again no more forever. Just trust me and step out and go forward. That is what you call a life of faith. They're believing what the man of God said. They're going to step out by faith. And as they step out by faith, if you've read the rest of the chapter, you're going to find God did a wonderful work. Look, if you would, please, down in verse 22. Excuse me, verse 22. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. Now, that's virtually impossible, isn't it? How can you go into a sea that has dry ground? God performed a miracle. It relates to us what he did. He says in verse 16, back there if you would, it says, but lift up thou thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. God said he was going to do it. They believed God. The man of God said, you do this, and God's promised to do this. And when they did that, God showed his great power. God showed his deliverance. God showed his great majesty, because something happened. The waters parted. Look at verse 23. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Are you still with me? They've gone into the midst of the sea. The water is on one side and stopped on the other side, and they're going across. And by the way, I don't think they went across single file. Pretty obvious that he made a great big part here. And as he did this, they traveled across. And as they're traveling across, we're not talking about one or two people here. If you'll understand, the children of Israel, when they got into the land of promise, Pastor, there were 650,000 men of war. And correct me if I'm wrong, Exodus 1 says the reason why that God had blessed the nation of Israel, he had seen them, and Pharaoh's trying to get rid of the children because they were multiplying continually, were getting ready to outnumber perhaps the Egyptian people, and they said perhaps maybe they would have an alliance with somebody else. We need to get rid of all these males. We need to get rid of all these children and just kill them because they might kind of fight against us from time to time. And God had prospered them, and God had blessed them. And so I believe there's at least a couple million people here making their way across the Red Sea. And we're not talking, like I said, single file. They're making their way across in the dry ground. The Bible talks about this dry ground that they go over, so that God is operating by saying, you listen to my man, you listen to my word, you believe what I tell you, and God will do wonderful things. Now, I'm not talking name it, claim it 2016 here. I'm talking about the truth of God's word. By faith, they believe what God said, and God performed a miracle. The waters parted. I wasn't there, but I believe what the Bible said. I believe the Bible reveals that God performed a great miracle that night. And we're going to see the hand of God working in their lives. Moving on down, if you would, notice in verse 24, and it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked into the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud. So he led them by a pillar of fire that they might make their way across, and the pillar of cloud so they couldn't see who was in front of them, the people that were Egyptians. And so God is intervening in his own way to stop them from pursuing. Notice it says in verse 25, and he took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel. So here's the story. The narrative is this, that they're saying, hey, we don't want to continue on here. It's one thing to see the walls of water stopped, and now they're driving their chariots furiously after them, and their chariot wheels are flying off. That would get my attention. Your chariot that you drive down the road, your wheel flew off and it gets your attention. Somebody else's wheel flies off and gets your attention. What I'm trying to show you here is that the people that saw this going on, they said, this is too much for us. We need to flee from their God. He's too powerful. He's not as powerful as our God is. Jehovah God was greater than the pagan gods of Egypt. But it doesn't stop there. Look at verse 26. The Lord said to Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea turned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. So the enemy's coming against them. Correct me if I'm wrong. Many times in the book of Psalm, it talks about there's a lament by the man of God because there are enemies that are after him. And he prays for his enemies. They call those imprecatory psalms. Praying on behalf of his enemies that God would deliver him from his troubles and from those people. And God in his own way brings judgment upon individuals that go against the people of God. Friends, listen, there's not anybody in this room that should desire anyone to die without Christ. Even people in prison need the Lord. Even folks that face the issue of giving up their children to murder need the Lord. All I'm trying to say tonight is this, that God knows every individual and God has a plan for every one of their lives. And if bad things have happened to you or bad things have happened to me, God does not say he doesn't love us. He does love us. He wants us to understand this great opportunity. So the observation that we see here is that Moses stretched forth his hand, the same rod that he raised to open the gate and the waters parted. It's the same rod that he raised and we find the waters receded. So they turn around their chariots and they're trying to head out and they don't make it. They drown right there in the sea. You say, that's awful. Yes, it is pretty sad. But at the same time, God is the sovereign God. And God knows exactly about these enemies that are taking place here. Verse 28, the waters returned, covered the chariots and the horsemen, and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained no, not so much as one of them. You believe your Bible? Every one of them died. Every one of them that came into the water, they died. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus, the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people, here's the response, the people feared the Lord. We've heard that sometime today, haven't we? They feared the Lord, and they believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So we notice that there's a great occasion here of the people of God leaving Egypt and making their way to the so-called land of promise. On this sojourn, though, we're going to find that God begins to operate in a way they didn't even think was possible. But by faith, they believed God, they trusted God, and they went forward. He said, go forward. And they stepped out by faith to what the man of God said, and the waters parted. And victory came, and the enemy was destroyed. So here's what happened. God said he was going to do something wonderful, and he did. The people of God, would you agree, they were delivered? Amen. Would you agree also that the enemy was destroyed? Then who had the glory? The Lord. Verse 31 says, and the people feared the Lord, and they believed God. And they believed this man Moses. Listen, he was chosen to be the leader. It wasn't Moses saying, pick me, pick me. No, he didn't do that at all. It was God that chose him. And now we find Moses saying, God, I'm just your servant. 22 times in the scripture, in the Pentateuch, it says, Moses, the servant of the Lord. Moses, the servant of the Lord. And by the way, that's all we are. We're just servants of the Lord. But sometimes God raises up a Moses to lead people, like your pastor and other servants of God. Sometimes you teach Sunday school to boys and girls, or you drive a bus, or you pick up folks in a van, or you're teaching an elementary class or something else. God has a plan and a place for every one of us. But he's trying to show us that he will bring glory to himself in all that's done. So this occasion revealed here the great outcome, and that outcome and the observation we received is that God was glorified through this situation. Now, that's the story, but it doesn't end there. He has much to say in chapter 15, 16, and 17. If you've read the book of Exodus, you know that the children of Israel make it to the land of promise, do they not? They make it there. Now, there are some sad situations along the way. There are some hard times along the way. There are some heartaches. There are some trials. There are some sorrows. There are some times of worry. But God delivered time and time and time again. Now, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I submit unto you that this charge to go forward was not just to avoid destruction on that particular day, but it was to reveal to them that God wanted victory in the life of the servants of God. God commanded them to go forward, and God wants you and I, as his children also in 2016, to go forward in our faith, to go forward and follow his word, to follow his men as he opens the word of God. Understand that one day we're going to give an account of our life to God. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. He knows exactly where we are and what we stand in need of. We will not arrive to our destination until we start moving forward. Everyone can do something here tonight. Some of you have been faithful to do your very best for God. Praise the Lord. Keep up the good work. But if you're not doing what you ought to be doing, why not? Do what you can to go forward in your spiritual walk. Go forward in your life for God. There may be someone here tonight that God's saying to you, listen to me. Listen to the voice of the man of God. And you need to go forward tonight and realize in your own mind, maybe not go forward to the altar, but then again, that's not a bad thing. But go forward in your mindset and say, listen, I know that I'm not a Christian. I know that I'm not a believer. And some of you tonight, you need to understand the importance of getting saved. The importance of accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. Aren't you glad that somebody told you about Jesus? I'm glad that I'm saved tonight. Somebody told me at 17 years of age I got saved. Got picked up on a bus, got taken to the house of God, and got saved. Then God called me to preach. Now, you may not believe he's called me to preach, but I'm enjoying the opportunity. And I want to share what Christ has done for me. And I hope that in your life you'll understand also that God doesn't want us just to observe his blessings, to observe his bounty. He wants us to participate and go forward in our service to God. There may be somebody here tonight that's not saved, does not know the grace of God. You need to get saved tonight. You know, Paul says in Ephesians 2 that we're in a bad state.
We said in Ephesians 2, verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love with he loved us, even we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Why? He answers it, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto, Brother Miller, good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. It does make a difference how we live. Maybe you're here tonight and you've not accepted Christ as Savior. The next step for you is to get saved. Go forward in your spiritual walk by accepting Christ as your Savior and honoring and glorifying him. Maybe some of you tonight have forgotten the grace God's bestowed upon you. Maybe it's time we bowed a knee and said, "God, thank you for saving my soul again." Just as a reminder of appreciation, 2 Corinthians 9:15, Pastor, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." That's not just him dying on the cross. That context is talking about the grace of God. The grace of giving, the grace of God, and God's grace being manifest to our lives. God gave us something we did not deserve. His wonderful grace has been extended. And beloved tonight, it's good for God's people to realize from time to time that God is good. Verse 31 says, they believed God. They feared the Lord. They served him. They went forward and said, "God, I want you to know we are thankful. We are grateful for your goodness." And they loved Moses. They praised Moses for all these things. And they praised God for his goodness. But 3 days later, he went from a hero to a zero. Didn't have any water. They complained. And God always comes through for his children. May not be the way we plan, but God is in charge. So we find we need to be appreciative. So maybe tonight, your next step about going forward spiritually is showing God thanks. I love the Sermon on the Mount, the book of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, where it talks about blessed are they, blessed are they. And one of my favorite, Pastor, not because I'm a preacher, but one of my favorite of the Beatitudes is, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. May God help his people to have an appetite for the things of God. A desire to be in God's house and with God's people, being thankful to God for his very word. Listen, you ought to have a high view of the word of God. It's our sole authority for faith and practice. In the word of God, we get a high view of our Savior, amen? And we know that he loves us, he cares for us, we ought to fear him, obey him, love him, and serve him with all of our being. What a wonderful God we serve. In every house of God, there ought to be servants of God and children of God that have some doctrinal stability, some moral purity, some spiritual integrity, some men of God that will say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We'll have an appetite for the things of God. We'll be desirous of following after God. You say, how do you do that? By attending one more service, by giving in one more offering, by being connected to one more opportunity of service, by teaching that class one more year, by being involved in knocking on one more door. You know what you need to do? Just get out and do it. Have an appetite and desire for spiritual things. Listen, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. God knows exactly what we're doing. He has the master blueprint. God's plan for building is found in his word. He wants us to know that he has plans for our life. But just like the children of Israel, they didn't know what their future held. They just know who held the future. It was God that did that. So our appetite should be on the things of God. Read your Bible. It doesn't say read 10 chapters to be spiritual, but it says study. Show yourself approved unto God, a workman. So read one more chapter. Go to one more service. Come out to one more day of visitation. Pray a little bit more. Grow in grace. Grow in knowledge. Have a desire to see people with a soul that need the Lord. Set your affection on the things of God. Set your desire upon loving one another. Amen. Loving each other. Listen, you know, the Bible doesn't say this exactly, but my dad did whenever I was growing up. He said, you know, you can choose your friends, but you are stuck with your relatives. Now, sometimes in our own family tree, we have some unique people. Can I say it like that? But they're still our relatives. Hey, listen, you may not even know me, but I'm going to haunt you in heaven. What you see now, I'm going to probably be pretty excited when I get up there. I'm excited about preaching from time to time, but I'm really excited thinking about heaven being my home. And we're going to be, listen, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Family together. Yes, you have your local assembly and Church of God right here, and I thank God for that. That's what I believe in, a local visible church, and I thank God for it. But I'm going to be in heaven one day. I'm going to be praising the one that sent his son for me. We might as well practice on the earth praising him. Having some affection and desire for one another, having a concern for souls and for people that need the Lord. They need Jesus Christ, and we that know him can share Christ with them. May God help us to knock on one more door and invite one more person. Pass out one more track. Just go forward, church. Just go forward one more day, one more time. Have that affection and desire for the things of God. Don't get cold and bitter. Don't get frustrated. Don't get to a place where you begin to murmur and criticize and complain. You said, I would never do that. Praise the Lord. But I've pastored 20-some years, and I know not all people are perfect. It's human nature to be critical at times. So may God help us to have an affection for his desires. And may our ambition for all that we do, be facing the opportunity of bringing glory to God. Whether you sing, you teach, you preach, whatever you get involved with, your ambition, desire should be, you should be zealous of good works. Your vision, your desire, your work, all that you're involved with should be done for the honor and glory of God. Moses did not do this for his own glory. He raised the rod. He believed God, said, go forward, children. And God did the miracle. It's amazing what God will do with me, what God will do with you, if we'll be willing to go forward. If you're not saved tonight, no better time than tonight. Today's a day of salvation, not the accepted time. Maybe it's been a while since you thanked God for saving you. You thanked him for your church. Thanked him for your family being saved. Maybe appreciation is due tonight to the one that gave his son for you. Maybe tonight you're looking at your own life and your affection, your desire, your zealous things for the things of God are wonderful, but my appetite and my desire ought to be based upon what God wants. Love not the world, the things in the world. Love God. Love his word. Love his people. Love his house. You've been faithful tonight. I thank you for that. Thank God that you have a desire to be in his house on a Sunday night. Some churches don't even have it anymore. But thanks be to God. The only way we're going to grow in grace is to be in his house, be with his people, be in his word, be thankful and grateful. Have a high view of the wonderful word of God. Have a high view of the one that gave his son for us. Amen. And the son that went to Calvary and died, the blood still saves from sin. So tonight, the children of Israel faced a dilemma, but God brought deliverance. He was glorified. In your life tonight, I don't know what you're facing, but God wants to give you deliverance. He wants to give you blessing. But your response is, I need to go forward and do exactly what God's called me to do. Because if I do that, I know when I stand before him, I'll be glad that I did. So tonight, the next step is yours. If God's spoken to you about something you need to bow the knee about, no better time than now to take care of it. Let's bow for prayer. Before I pray tonight, I'd like to ask a very serious question. And that would be this. If you're here tonight and you do not know for certain that you're part of the family of God, you'd say, Brother Pierce, would you pray for me? I've never asked Christ to be my Savior. I'm not even certain about what you're dealing with here tonight. But if Jesus can do something for my life, I really need him. Would you pray for me? Hey, young or old alike, is there someone here that say, Preacher, pray for me. I'm not certain that I'm part of the family of God. I'd love to pray for you. Anyone like that at all? Just raise up your hand and back down and say, please pray for me. All right, perhaps you're here tonight and you know that God spoke into your heart about the great blessings of victory in the life of the children of God. But he also has desire for you tonight. Let me ask you, my friend, are you appreciating God and his word and his house and his people the way you should? Is your appetite on the spiritual things of God? Is your affection on the things of the Lord? Are you cold and bitter? Is your ambition and desire to be involved in the work of God for you? Or is it about him? When you sing, when you teach, when you preach, when you serve, let's do it for him. Maybe you're here and you say, Brother Pearson, God's spoken to me tonight in some area. I want you to pray for me that I do my very best to honor God and obey God and serve and love God to the best of my ability. And I need to bow my knee tonight and thank God or pray to God or ask God to help me in some area because I want to be a better servant of the Lord. Anybody like that tonight, just raise your hand up. Yes, I see hands going up everywhere. Thank you for the sincerity of heart. Let me put your hands down. We're going to have a verse of invitation in just a moment here. Miss Callie's going to play a song, and as she plays the song tonight, I'm going to pray and give you opportunity to come and pray here at this altar, to pray in your seat, whatever you'd like to do tonight. Then Pastor will close out the service. But tonight we'd like to ask you if you would to stand. And as you stand, I'll pray for these that raised their hand, give opportunity for you to respond to God tonight as He's spoken to your heart. Father, again, help men, women, and boys and girls to listen to your voice. You've spoken to their heart. I pray, God, you'd help them to respond appropriately. May you be glorified by all that's said and all that's done this night. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are still bowed. Eyes are still closed. She's playing. If you'd like to step out and come and pray, now's the opportunity for you to do it. God knows your heart and God knows your need. You just do as you need to do.